Hey guys, how's it going? This is Nana and I'm here with your favorite co-host, Amalayo.
Hey everyone.
Yeah, we're excited to bring you yet another episode of Afropolitan Central.
Yeah.
This one, you know, is going to be quite sentimental. I'm going to make it a reflective episode because
it's the end of the year. 2018 absolutely. Is out. Headed out the door.
This year, I feel like just absolutely flew by. I don't know where it went, but we're already at the end
of it. I'm not going to lie, though. We say that every year.
No, but, like, I remember so distinctively what I was doing December last year. Like, I'd taken on this task I thought was so small, just painting my room, and ended up being something that stretched through January.
That's so funny.
And that feels like it was yesterday, and yet here we are.
Here we are. For me, where was I this time last year? I was in Nigeria, actually, and I was just wrapping up the National Youth Service Corps, and it does feel like yesterday, you're right. And I was running around trying to get my certificate, and then I had to rush to Lagos for my cousin's wedding. So, yeah, it does feel, that was very frustrating, but it's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right, it feels like yesterday.
It does, yeah. So, for this episode, we're just going to take out some time to ask each other some questions that will help us reflect, help you reflect as well, as we get into the right state of mind for 2019.
New year, new us, right?
New us, we always say. Your life or whatever.
And then also just, like, reflecting on our life and the podcast journey and everything. So
yeah, what do you want to talk about?
So I wanted to kind of think about, so like our podcast is about to be a year old, right? Because we started like in March more so, right? So we've had like, we've gone to the end of the year, we started another season. So kind of for you, what has been the most exciting part of this podcast journey?
I think it's, like, I'm not going to lie, like I think probably that moment at TEDx when Natasha was like, oh, I bookmarked your podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we sit in Amalia's closet. And guys, this is not like the American closet where it's like a walk-in closet. This is like a tiny space in the wall. So we're like squished to the max. And, you know, we record this and, you know, we hope that there are people out there listening and people actually being touched by it. So to hear, because I mean, obviously I bully all my friends and my close family to absolutely listen to it, but then to hear also from somebody who
that
have
we
never
don't know
met
at all,
us,
yeah,
that, oh yeah, I had bookmarked your podcast. It's like, oh my gosh. So that is one thing that, you know, this is actually something that is having an impact, and people are listening and are getting something from it and is sparing a conversation that we wanted to spare. And actually tackling, because I remember also from like the mental health episode, like I had so many people, I mean three people, but, you know,
hey.
I'm grateful for all three of them, just talk about how needed that conversation was. Shout out to Kobe for joining us, and just how a lot of those things hadn't been discussed for a while and how it was needed. So just, yeah, all those things I'm just really proud of.
Definitely. For me, it's more from a personal standpoint, what I've been so excited about the podcast for. So, like, definitely in addition to, like, knowing that other people are actually listening.
Yeah.
It's giving me, like, an excuse almost to, like, delve into all these stories that, like, I always want to make time to, like, delve into, like, and research different topics and, like, you know, like, for example, when we did the episode on the art history thing, and just, like, having a chance to, like, delve into it a little bit more and do research on, like, the Benin Empire that we did, like, way earlier in the year.
Yes.
So just all these different, like, little, like, research excursions that I get to do because of Afropolitan Central has been really fun.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't think it's, at least for me, like, it hasn't been a singular, always kind of motivated journey. I think it's interesting because, I don't know, I think I'm just weird. Because there are times when you do things, you're like, oh, I think this is really needed. So I think it's automatically, like, people are going to want to listen to it. And you start reading certain articles about the kind of, like, download numbers and listener engagement you're supposed to have. And you're like, what? So my thing hasn't been performing like I wanted.
Comparison will crush you.
Will absolutely crush you. And, you know, that's something that I've had to take a step back and really examine and really try to figure out and deal with. It's like, at the end of the day, and I think I said this in that mental health episode, but you need to define for you what you value, what is success and what is important, and just keep your eye on that,
right?
Because I think I'm that kind of person. I always say that I have the grass is greener on the other side syndrome. And yeah, it's not like a malicious thing, you know, like I'm not out here covered in what other people are doing. Absolutely not. But I'm that person that's always like driving myself very hard. Mm-hmm. So if I see this, I'm like, oh, so that's possible. So I need to be able to work hard enough to also be able to achieve that.
But so, I think why haven't I achieved it yet?
Absolutely. But I think that can come with its own perils. Right. So
I think that's one of my biggest lessons of 2018 in general. Anyway, like the comparison game, like how dangerous it is, because I have had a pretty like unconventional like postgraduate experience. So like ever since I graduated, I moved to France and then I moved to Nigeria, then moved back to the US, and now I'm finally starting grad school.
Yeah.
So I look at those who have like who went to grad school right away and are now like in a certain place in their job, or those who like went into the workforce right away and then like in a certain place in their job. Mm. And I feel like I'm in neither of those places, or like people who have been like blogging consistently or like, you know, podcasting consistently or like just like whatever, because I'm in like a few different, I have my foot in a few different fields, like both like the communication strategy field, and in the, you know, human rights and migration field. And so when I see other people who are also in that field, but took a more like, what looks to me, because exactly like the issue with the comparison games, like you don't know what's going on with their behind the scenes, but what looks to me like a pretty linear path from graduation to where they are now, and I'm like, dang, like I'm not there yet. Why am I not there yet? Should I have taken a more linear path? Like should I have done all those things that I did like right after graduation, or should I have just like gone into grad school right away, or like gone into working right away? Like would I be in a different place if I started like freelancing in communication strategy right away? Like so just like all these little ways that I'll like compare myself to other people who did have a slightly different journey. And so it's kind of like this year has been a lot of like taking a step back and being like, Maya, like your journey is not everyone else's journey.
And there's value in your journey, and there's value in the story. And this is me, you know, coming off my Becoming by Michelle Obama high, where she's very much like, you know, this is my story and there's value in my story, just like there is value in your story. So that is your journey and that is your path, and you are who you are, and all the value, quote unquote, that you're able to deliver has been because of those off the beaten path, quote unquote, experiences. And this girl, actually, I'm thinking about it. She was in France because of Fulbright. She went back home because she was doing NYC, which is something she's really passionate about. Because it's not like she's been sitting at home wasting her life. It's
like, girl, whatever. I know, but it's like so funny because like when you do play the comparison game, like you forget those things. You know what I mean? You forget that like, oh, like these were actually milestones. You're like, what the heck was I doing? Why am I not there yet? But yeah, this idea of like how unique your journey was, I think this was something that I really got a chance to reflect on over the summer when I did that, my whole like, oh, like blog and like personal website revamp. Because I really took the time to be like, okay, like what are all these different facets of me, and then like how am I putting them together into like one unique story. And so that time to like do the revamp of my website was like a really reflective time for me. And so now also like this end of year, like looking back is also a good time for reflection.
That makes sense. I think it sounds like we've just skipped the intro and gone right into reflecting, so let's just continue.
So for you, what quality do you appreciate most about yourself?
So,
or like grew from this year, like in a way.
So I think and this is, I think this is something that I've always known, but I've come to terms with more. And you know, obviously, you know, this is not me trying to toot my own horn, not at all. So I would say my loyalty. So I think I'm that kind of person that I always say that, oh my goodness, like I want to develop strong relationships with people, and I don't like superficial, meaningless kind of relationships and friendships and etc. And I think, you know, at times during this year, like I've gotten really frustrated and very to the point where I'm like, what is wrong with me, quote unquote, because then I've seen relationships where, you know, I found myself either getting iced out or kind of getting left in the dust or whatever. And I think it actually caused like a lot of emotional stress for me. And I was beating myself up about it because I was like, okay, it seems like I'm the common denominator. Because then, of course, once that happens, you start to take a look back. You're like, oh, I remember that relationship, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay, what is it? Am I just like a super needy person? You know, what am I doing that lets these? And a lot of times it's like friendships where it's groups of people. So maybe all of us in a group at one place, and I'm suddenly, before I I can figure out, like, I'm on the outs or something like that. So I was actually, you know, I had loads of talks with Samantha. And then Kobe actually, I think a week or so after we recorded our episode, mm-hmm. she had called me super impromptu with Levi. And we kind of started to have that talk. And I was like, Kobe, like, thank you so much for being vulnerable with me. And I'm not going to lie, like, I've been in a place where I've been struggling a lot with this because I felt like I was doing something wrong or there was something inherently wrong with me. Like, I was being too needy. And she's like, no, you're somebody who... You know, you're quite similar to me in the sense that you want to build deep relationships with people and you're very loyal to people. And, you know, our friendship has gone for what, 3-4 years. And I undoubtedly know that I can always count on you for X, Y, Z. And so, you know, it's less about what's wrong with you, but it's more about what you're trying to get from these friendships and from these relationships. And I think for me, like, I wasn't looking at it that way. I was looking at it from, I think I'm being too needy and I think I'm just isolating people or whatever. And then now I've taken a step back and realized actually that isn't true. What I'm trying to do or what I always hope to do is if we're becoming friends or if we're building a relationship, then I want it to be a relationship that matters, a relationship where we can be vulnerable with each other, a relationship that adds a value and means something. And that kind of, maybe loyalty isn't the right way to even describe that.
I'm like singing, I'm like loyalty.
But I think I've gotten to that space now where I'm quite proud of myself for the fact that I am able to actually, or I want to be able to build relationships where I can also pour into people and I can actually add meaning and add value. And I feel like I've just gone on a long run.
Feel like this is so beautiful, but because I feel like this is what, to me, like, this is what, like, December is about. Like, these kinds of reflections, these kind of lessons. And I feel like you just gave us, like, a really, like, important, like, snippet into how we can perceive different situations. And, like, why it's so important to have, like, friends who know you intimately enough to be like, no, actually, like, this is how you could read it. This is another way that I read it, or whatever. And then also just knowing that, like, even though you might be reading something some way, somebody else might be reading it another way. And so having that, those conversations with other people to be like, am I the crazy one?
Am I the crazy one? What is happening?
What's going on? And so I just think, and that sounds like such an important, like, lesson to learn, because then you realize that you're not for everyone. The kind of friendship that you're trying to have isn't a friendship that you can have with everyone, and that's okay. And that is such an important lesson to go into 2019 with, because 2019, we are not dragging useless friendships into this new year.
And guys, sorry, so I just went on that whole 4-minute spiel, and I'm lying, I just summarized it so well, but that's the thing. I'm not for everybody, and that's okay.
That's okay.
And that's my lesson that I've learned, that I'm quite proud of that I have that quality, and to really learn and to be okay with it. Because to be fair, if you're trying to build deep friendships, you can't have 100 deep friends.
That's so true.
How is that gonna work?
That'd be exhausting.
You'd be drained. So just getting to that point where I'm happy with myself. And so if you know, with groups that you're iced out, and I'm just like, okay, I'll give what I can give, and then the rest that I can't give, I just can't give, and I'm happy with it. I'm happy to be on the outskirts if needed. Like, it's okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
We can handle this.
I haven't done anything wrong.
They're not saying this, but I know, like, it's a work in progress every day, right? Because there's some days you're gonna be like, each day, like, you get closer and closer to this idea that, like, I'm okay with, like, this friendship not working out because, like, it wasn't what was meant to be.
It wasn't, or also keeping certain things, being happy with certain things being maybe the way slightly they are. Superficial. Or slightly the way they are. Like, just knowing what is important to you, what you're drawing strength from, what you're placing value in. Because you can't place value in everything.
Exactly.
You can't draw value from everything. So
So for me, right?
What's yours?
So this was kind of hard, and this is why I'm like, mine is definitely a work in progress. And so for me, I think it's like just doing me, like, just doing my own, because I have this thing where I feel like everyone, not like everyone's watching me in a like, not in a like, oh, like they're like looking out for what I'm up to, but more so like I always like feel like self-conscious about certain things. And I'm definitely like one of those people where like I don't want to make anyone mad. You know what I mean? And so I always want to feel like, oh, I have to, like, I don't want to do something that would like annoy them or like they would dislike me. Like, I just always feel like, so I do this in a couple different ways.
People pleaser way.
Yeah. And it comes out in a few different ways. Like, so, and I kind of sometimes like don't let it, I make it not allow me to do some of the things I want. So sometimes I have a lot of problem with like improving in my language skills because I don't want to look like a fool. Right. So it's that whole idea of like people watching me, people judging me. Like, I always feel like people are like judging me. And so like trying to care less about others' opinions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's basically it. Like trying to care less about other people's opinions. And so I remember like when I was in Senegal, I struggled a lot. I actually spoke better Wolof. So Wolof is a lingua franca of Senegal. So this language they speak the most, even though they speak French and stuff in school and business.
Yeah.
So when I was in Senegal back in 2013, I took a language class.
Saying you're in Senegal in the future.
Exactly. When I was back in Senegal, I'm confused with all tense. When I was in Senegal in 2013, before I got there, I spoke much better Wolof. And then when I got there, I got really self-conscious about my Wolof because of just like, because like I think like, you know, visually I could technically be Senegalese, like you just don't know.
Yeah.
And so whenever I open my mouth to kind of speak Wolof, people kind of seems like get annoyed at me because like my Wolof wasn't as good as they might have expected if I had been Senegalese. And I get the same thing when I'm in Nigeria trying to speak Yoruba. Like people just like cannot get over the fact that I don't speak Yoruba as well as I think I should speak Yoruba. And so little things like that make me like not speak Yoruba, not practice my Yoruba, not practice my Wolof. You know what I mean? Because I'm always like very conscious of like what other people think of me and what their opinion is of me.
Yeah.
And so, and it's also one of the reasons why I don't say no as often as I should, right? Because I don't want to let them down. I don't want them to have a bad opinion of me, just all these things. So this year has just been like a year of like saying no more often, being like, you know what? I'm just doing me. Like, I got to set these boundaries. Yep. I can't care what other people think about me as much as I used to.
Yep.
And like also just making sure that, I'm losing my train of thought entirely, but just like, you know, just like setting these boundaries and not like, and knowing, I remember now, knowing that like people actually aren't staring at you as much as you think they're staring at you. Like they actually don't, like, cause like the few times that I have actually said no, those friendships were maintained. Those relationships were maintained. Like the world did not shatter because Omalaya said no.
It's always so funny how quote unquote self-centered we are. Quote unquote, like not in a bad way at all, but we think like, oh my goodness, this person's so gonna judge me for this, or this is so gonna happen if I do that. But it's like,
we don't care.
Yeah, no.
we don't care that much.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you name that as then? Or like, what's that thing now? So is it learning to say no or learning?
I just like learning to like not care as much, like how, I don't know, I just being almost being a little bit more self-centered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
just placing yourself first.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not so much about like being like selfish or anything. It's about just knowing that like not everyone's looking out for you and like judging everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
But more so just being like, just do you, and like those who stay will stay, and those, you know what I mean? And so like even if that's like language learning, if that's a relationship with a client or whatever, just being able to be like this is what I'm doing, this is my boundaries, and like this is what I want to get out of this. So whatever that's like, so that's with language learning, like this is what I want to get out of this.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna like barrel through and speak this language regardless of whether or not you laugh at me.
Absolutely.
Because like, you know, the reason why we are worried about people is because we think that they'll like shut us down or whatever, but like, so what?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, and if they trust you down, like, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Life will still go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving on. I just said I wasn't even sure. So, I'm trying to think. So, one, I guess, fun fact about me is that, like, I hate things like this because I can never in the moment remember, you know, the actual funny things. And later on, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this funny thing. But the moment has passed. So, suffice to say, fun fact, icebreaker things just give me so much anxiety. So, my funniest memory, hopefully you guys are not like, this is not that funny. But I think it's probably when we went to Thailand. So I, you know, as a child, had my little blue and white bike that I rode all across the neighborhood, played with my friends on my bike, rode my bike in our, you know, I was a bike rider. Somehow, as an adult, I have no bike riding skills. Like,
it's supposed to be one of those things that you don't forget.
And I'm like, clearly this saying wasn't well constructed, or it's not very representative of
everybody. Didn't have Nana in mind.
It didn't have me in mind, because now I cannot ride a bike. So fast forward to Thailand. We go to Thailand. We go to Pai, which is like a small city, very hippie, whatever. Everybody gets around via motorbikes. And then me and my friend Rebecca, we're like, oh yeah, let's rent motorbikes. And I'm like, oh yeah, let's rent motorbikes. Of course. Forgetting, or maybe willfully ignoring, the fact that I can't ride motorbikes. So she goes and she gets hers. The guy shows her the ropes. I'm staying back at the hotel. She comes. She's like, oh yeah, you know, here's the bike. You know, let's just go off the dirt path a bit. Let me just show you what the guy has shown me. Y'all. Who, 10 seconds later, had been flung across with the bike on her leg, having fallen over. Yes, your girl. And so now I have a scar on my leg. Yeah, I'm showing
you. I feel like I've not heard this story.
Yeah, I have a scar on my leg. Oh,
that's barely visible.
No, but...
No, it's not a scar. It's a boo-boo.
What? It's not a boo-boo.
Maybe it's because it's dark.
I have made efforts to make it that way. To make it smaller.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well done.
But I, you know, fell off the bike. And I think what is funnier to me... is Rebecca's reaction as well. Homegirl was screaming up the storm. Like, oh my gosh!
Was screaming, laughing, or screaming, like, worried?
No, screaming, worried. Aww. Because I was falling over, and the bike was, like, on my leg, kind of, like, on top of me.
Oh,
and it's
gosh.
Actually quite, yeah, yeah, it was quite heavy. And the funny thing also is that I think I fell, because as soon as I started to rev it up just a bit, she screamed as well.
So this isn't, like, a bicycle.
No, this is, like, a motorbike.
Oh man!
Like a motorbike, like an engine-powered motorbike.
That's not the same as like learning how to ride a bike, but, bicycle.
But I think the thing is, the principle still applied because I was still.
Were you pedaling?
Well, you have to pedal it just a bit to rev it up, and then once you gain speed, then you just use the brake thingies to propel it forward.
Sounds dangerous. Yes. Clearly it was, because you got hurt.
Now I'm like, is it the funniest thing I could have shared?
Was this the funniest thing that happened to me this year?
Probably
it's
okay. Not.
I think in retrospect, it's funny.
It's funny, but like, in retrospect.
Now that you're telling me it was a motorbike, I'm like, this sounds scary.
No, it's like a motorbike. I think for me, it's just funny because I was like, I was so willing to ignore the fact that I didn't know the basics of this. Mm. And I just jumped.
You were like, I'm ready. Adventure time.
I'm ready. Of course.
The things we do when we're on travel.
Right? Everybody rides motorbikes. I should be able to ride it too. But no.
That's so funny.
Nope.
For my, it was, I don't know, I'm trying to give, like, not too much background because I don't want to go into the story too much, but it was just so funny. So my little sister, she's just turned 16. She's one of the funniest people that I know. She's absolutely sassy. So one time we were around the dinner table, and I don't even remember what it was, but our cousin Ayana brought something up, and Maya Kun said something that was, like, less than woke. Because I think, it was, like, this white woman was asking Ayana how, like, she got the braids in her hair or something, or, like, how she washes her hair. Something like that. And so, you know, of course, Tayo's my little sister, we're like, oh my gosh, like, you know what I mean? And Mayaku, my little brother, he was like, oh, but, like, maybe she was just being this, you know, trying to be, like, devil's advocate, maybe she was just, but, you know, we were not having that. So my little sister, so this joke is only funny if you've seen Get Out. So my little sister goes into the kitchen, comes back with a cup and a spoon, and then spins it in Mayaku's ear. It was so funny. We were dead. It was hilarious. Because basically he was saying something. So in case you haven't seen Get Out, like, it was this whole thing where, like, the guy goes into, like, the way they, like, brainwash them or, like, take them over is putting them into a trance with like, a spoon and cup, right? Yep. So, basically, she was saying, because Michael was, like, said something that was, like, not woke at all, maybe he's in the sunken place.
He needed to be awoken.
Yeah, like, maybe he was in the sunken place. And so, she went to go, like, make the spoon sound like, oh, you're in the sunken place.
Yeah.
We died. It was so
funny.
That is
actually so funny. That is hilarious. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, my sister is just like one of the funniest people I know. So anyways, changing gears just a little, what has been the low point in your life this year, or like in general, I guess?
I think
You learned from it?
I think I've kind of covered it, because like I said, like I was in a place, I think a bad place, being emotionally stressed, maybe mm-hmm. even early depressed, or from just all those things where I was just really questioning myself, who mm-hmm. I was, the fact that I felt like there was something wrong with me, because I was like, you know what, let me be accountable, I'm the common denominator here,
mm-hmm.
And really just struggling with that for like weeks and maybe even months, and finally I hope and I pray coming to that point where I'm just like, you know what, there's nothing wrong with you, you're enough, it's okay,
yeah,
you'll be fine, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, mine is actually really similar to what I shared earlier as well, but it was like a very specific moment that was the low point, as opposed to just like the general reflection on like comparison. So mine was when I was at my friend Sama's graduation. So of course it was one of those things where like she had just finished law school, so I was super excited, and then the very same day I got an email that I didn't get the scholarship that I wanted. And so like to be like in that environment where you're super excited celebrating someone's accomplishment, everything, and then to get an email that and this is something that I was like counting on, because I actually deferred my acceptance to grad school because I was like, okay, let me take more time to like look for a scholarship. And so like I've been working on trying to get into grad school for so long, and so to just have this moment where it was like the last scholarship that I was waiting to hear back from, I'd applied to all the scholarships, everything, and so it was just, I was just like really counting on this one, and so to just get that email and you don't like get it and everything, like I was just like, what is wrong with me? Like, why can I not achieve my dreams and everything? Yeah, it was just like...
giving her a hug, you.
So it was just like a really like hard moment. And I felt bad because I was trying to like, you know, stay positive and everything, because like we're there to celebrate Sama. Yeah. Like, I'm just like kicking myself because I'm like, I never check my email when I'm out and about. So I'm like, why did I check my email now? And so I was like trying to like... So luckily like Sama was like out getting food, and so I was able to like pull it together. And like Chinema was there too, so she like noticed. She was like, are you okay? And so like I... got to have like a mini cry, and then like when we got back from like the celebrations and everything, that's when I could have like my proper cry and like call my mom, and I even like called my research mentor, Tom Mold.
He's
a great guy,
undergrad,
and so I called him like, what should I do with my life, like I can't go to grad school anymore, like I can't do this, I can't do that, like what should I even do, like I don't know what to do next. And so for me, like that was like one of the lowest points of my year, I guess.
And what did you learn from that?
Well, so Tom was just like, it was one of those things actually where he was like, because I was like, I want to do so, because I was talking to him about like, how what I wanted to do with my life, like I wanted it to be something that like made a difference and blah blah blah. And he was just like, Maya, like just do what you want, like just do what you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes back to this idea where like I feel like I'm always like trying to please people, whether it's even like pleasing the world and making a difference in the world and blah blah blah. But he was like, if you just do what you're passionate about, you're gonna end up changing the world, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, okay. So like, because I don't have to like organize my life in such a way that it's like, oh, what does the world need the most? Let me be that thing that the world needs the most. It's like, no, do what you're passionate about, what your heart is telling you to do, and then like
you'll work out from there.
Exactly. So that was an amazing lesson for him.
That's a good one. So we have one here that says, what one event are you going to tell your grandchildren about?
Definitely the spoon story.
I think I'm probably I'm trying to think. So I think my travels in general, I think are just stories and things that I'll always share, because you know this was a year that I went to Italy. I got to go to Canada. I went to Thailand as well. Even Myanmar, like I stopped there for a second. But I think, you know, trying to not be cheesy, probably I think maybe the story of just starting this podcast, because I think for me, I realized
it was a journey,
and it's similar to what I said in my TEDx thing, that you just start and nobody knows what they're doing until they get started.
Exactly.
So, and I'm that, you know, being a perfectionist, for me this was like such a revelation, because I always feel like I have to get all my ducks in a row, the universe has to align, and then I'll get started on it, so that will be a success.
So it'll be like a lesson to your grandchildren. Absolutely. Like leap before you know, kind of leap with faith.
Leap with faith. And also that just because you've leapt doesn't mean that it's all going to align. No, like,
you leap and you might fall.
You might fall. That's okay. It's okay. Dust yourself off and just leap again. Keep going.
Yeah. For me, it's actually like a travel story that I will tell. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but this was when I was crossing the border between Benin back to Nigeria.
Oh.
Yeah, and I ended up getting in a fight with the border agents.
Girl!
No, it was not me. It was them, okay? And it wasn't like a physical fight. It clearly like was not a physical fight, but it was just like, it's a space where like, so we have our ECOWAS passports, right? So you're supposed to be able to move in and out of these African countries, of the West African countries, without any visa, whatever. But these border agents have you like paying like 6,000 naira for this, however many for that, like just corrupt AF. And the people on the Benin side were like, oh, we charge this because the people on the Nigerian side started charging it. And so it was just like a whole conflation of thing. And so luckily for me, I speak Yoruba, Igbo, and French. So nobody on either side of the border was about to mess with me, even though people like always trying to, because like this one guy, he was trying to like, because you have to take like a motorbike actually to cross the border. And so once you do that, then you take a taxi into Lagos or whatever. So this Lagos guy was like, this taxi guy was trying to like snab us from our motorbike guy. And so they were like discussing it in Yoruba. And I was like, excuse me.
I'm right here.
Mogbo, okay, like I can hear you. I understand what you're saying and everything like that and everything. And then there was another point. Yeah, there was another point where the guy who was on the motorbike with us, he was trying to like help, quote unquote, help us. And he also, we had issues with our visa thing, and I won't get into it too much, but basically he was like trying to like speak on our behalf to the guys in French, and then he was telling them in French that like, oh, he had already told us that we had to pay, but we didn't want to listen, we just wanted to go bye, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, excuse me, je peux pas pour moi-même, je peux parle pour moi-même, merci. You know, like, I can talk for myself. Don't talk for me. Like, I got it. And so then I spoke to the border agent myself and be like, okay, like, this is our story. Like, this is what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. So for me, it was just one of those moments where it's just, like, the importance of, like, knowing languages and then the importance of just, like, sticking up for yourself and everything. Mm. And this was at the end of vacation. So I was with my boyfriend and everything. And I remember when we finished talking to the guy on the Nigerian side, so our thing was finally wrapping up, the guy looked at my boyfriend and he was like, don't let her speak so much. Thank you. He was like, don't, like, you should, it's not good for you to let her speak so much, blah, blah, blah. Because I was like the feisty one. I was like, blah, 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 blah. And so he was like, don't let her speak so much. And so for me, like, to my grandchildren, I guess, like, I would just like tell them the importance of like standing up for themselves, like knowing different languages, like just knowing how to navigate like any situation. Mm. And I was never being rude or anything. I was just like standing up for myself because I knew like I'm not supposed to be paying for this. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, long story short, I ended up fainting at the end of this ordeal. What? It was hot. It was hot. And then it was like, after we'd already finished with this guy who just like, you know, shut down all of womankind.
What?
They were trying to like see if we had our yellow fever card, and I had mine, but Bae didn't have his, but I was just like up to here with it. And so I got down from my motorbike, tried to talk to him, and then just passed out.
Oh my,
in the sand.
Goodness.
It was so scary. I've just never fainted in my life.
You just fell.
I just fell, like,
so nothing broke your fall?
No.
Did you get hurt from the fall?
I didn't at all. And like, cause like Gerald was like right there and everything, and like, you know, picked me up. And but then this one man was still being like super rude about it. Cause he was like, oh, like, cause I don't think he saw me faint, but I came back to like some, like, I was giving water and everything. I was seated like on a bench and I was like crying because I was so surprised by my, that. Yeah. And the guy was like, why is she crying? Like, get her up, like, get her off my bench, blah, 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 blah. Like, and I was just like, lack of sympathy. You know, I'm still traumatized thinking about this day. Like,
oh,
I'm over here in this closet, like shaking.
Aww,
yeah. So,
thank God you had Gerald with
you.
And I mean, it's so crazy that you had been just sticking up for yourself and being so strong. And just, had you not eaten?
I mean, we had a hefty breakfast. I made us like a Spanish omelet before we went. I know. So I had eaten, but I mean, it had been a long day by that time, and the sun was hot, and I definitely wasn't like drinking water throughout this whole ordeal or anything.
Yeah,
it was just, like, a lot, and I think a lot of it was just the emotions too. And then like also like speaking three languages like in one time, like it's a lot of like
lot mental
physical
energy.
And mental, emotional too. So and I was also just like worried that like we wouldn't get back into Nigeria. Oh, like, this is just me trying to return to my own country. Aww. Like, dang, yo.
Can you imagine? I think we gotta do better. Mia, we've got to do better. So yeah, I have one, and we'll make these a bit shorter because I realize that we're being quite long-winded.
It's been a long year. That's been 2018 was a long year.
Yeah, that's a lot to reflect on. So I read one where, and I still can't tell if it was for real, for real, or if it was a hook.
Sorry, guys. Shock.
Just got shocked a bit. Where it was a news story or a hoax or whatever. So there's a story about a guy in Nigeria. Him and his wife, you know, lived in their house, which they rented. And every couple of years, you know, the rent was going up, and it got to a point where the guy was like, oh my gosh, I'm fed up with this landlord. Like, I think they're trying to pull one over us. Who's the landlord? Let me speak to them. Only to find out that his wife was the landlord. So his wife owned the complex that they lived in, or his wife owned the property. And so he was recounting his story and saying that there were times when, you know, the rents would go up and he'd be so frustrated, and he'd be like, oh, my husband, I can loan you some money. I'll give you some money to cover the rent. Not knowing that money was just coming, like, it was his
back into his pocket.
It was like a little circle.
Little circle.
And I cannot imagine, like, because, you know,
sense of betrayal.
Just the sense of betrayal. His pride probably was shattered because he's like, my wife, my own flesh, my own, what's the expression? Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, whatever. Yeah. Like, you would betray me in this way. But I just thought it was the funniest thing
That's
ever.
That's hilarious.
And I was just like, you go, woman.
Yeah. Reminds me of, like, all these conversations that people had on Twitter this year about, like, should you pay your housewife? Like, should you... You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because some men are stingy, like, just because they're the breadwinner. And so, like, if their wife doesn't make anything, if either A, he dies, or B, leaves her, like, she's just destitute. You know what I mean? So if she's your housewife and you're not, like, recognizing the contribution that she makes, like, raising the kids, keeping the house clean, blah, 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 because it's what allows you to, like, go actually to the workforce and with a clear-headed mind, like, lunch ready, whatever, suit pressed, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, you just leave her for another woman, and now she has nothing to show for all the years that she put into your job too, because, like, she technically put it into your job because you wouldn't have not have been able to climb the ladder the way you had did you. Without her.
Absolutely. And I think for me, that's one of the reasons why I'm just like, I don't know if I'm gonna become a housewife. Because, like, I think, at least to me, it's a scary thing to be dependent financially on somebody else who, let's say, and, you know, my thing is, I know for a fact, by God's grace, I'm not gonna be marrying any random person that will do this. But, you know, I have heard crazy stories where it's like, on a whim, I've taken XYZ away on a whim. I've left you for another woman. Like, you have nothing.
Yeah. So. And then some of it, it's not even so much that the guy did something wrong. Like, maybe he just, like, passes away. And then, the brothers or whatever will, like, swoop in before the wife can even see, like, a dime of her husband's money.
I'm just like, I would curse you.
It's crazy.
And curse you.
Yeah. For me, I feel like the craziest story, it's not really crazy. It's, like, so typical. But it's the story out of Zimbabwe.
I thought about that.
About people. So, basically, like, if you guys know, like, a few years ago, I feel like now, Zimbabwe kicked all the white farmers off, quote unquote, their land. Recently, Zimbabwe now has to, like, pay reparations to all these farmers that they, like, wronged or whatever. And regardless of how you feel about what Zimbabwe did in the first place, personally for me, I do not agree with how they went about to go ahead and pay the reparations, because basically what happened is that the US and other countries were like, sanctioned Zimbabwe, and they were like, until you right this wrong, we're not going to, like, give you aid money or, like, you know, do business with you or whatever. And so, like, Zimbabwe kind of felt like backed up against the wall and had to pay reparations to the white farmers that they displaced or whatever. So for me, I just think it's so rich that the US of all countries would talk about paying reparations to displaced people, because, like, minus the history of all the displacement of Native Americans, right? How about all the recent displacement of Native Americans due to, like, fracking, or just, like, how reservations just, like, are not even, like, hospitable sometimes. Yeah,
funded or catered.
Exactly, exactly.
And I mean, let's not even slavery. Like, yeah. Hello. Hello, okay.
And also, were they supposed to be on that land in the first place? Was that land there?
And I'm just at the end of the day, too, very much your whole economy, your whole country, everything it is, was built off of free labor. Mm-hmm. You're not in a position to tell people what to do.
Yeah. Nope. So, I mean, we definitely have certain opinions about the original, kicking farmers off their land. We think it could have been done in a slightly different way, or we're not even sure if it should have been done at all. We don't know.
Oh, no. I am sure that it should have been done, because that was not their land at all. However, you can't take people that have been doing it away and then say, I'm going to give it to the people that it rightly belongs to. But those people have never been equipped to actually be able to run those operations.
Definitely. I agree with this one.
So it needed to have been done in a proper way, but it needed to be done.
That's the story.
So then making more positive, an amazing success story out of the continent. I had one in mind when I wrote this, and I feel like I've just blanked out.
For me, it would have to be somebody that I mentioned during the last episode, actually, that when we talked about TEDx a little bit. Mm. Claire, her last name right
now. Karikatsi.
Okay. And so she is the first female Rwandan neurosurgeon. So I feel like her story is just amazing and really enlightening for all the reasons I had said before, which is just how much she persevered and how she just fought against all odds to be in the position that she is. And then she told a story actually at the TEDx event where she was in Toronto and she saved the life of this Egyptian man. And so for a Rwandan, basically what she was saying, for this Rwandan female neurosurgeon to save the life of a Egyptian man all the way over in Toronto, you know what I mean? Something like that, and just how all these little dots connect each other. If she hadn't persevered, if she hadn't been in this place in this moment, would that man have survived his medical emergency?
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to think of the initial story that I had in mind, but I'm blanking out. I think, let's see. Okay, to be easy, I'll take one from TEDx as well. I really liked that guy. I think it's not Omar Degan. It's the other guy that did the malaria stuff.
Yeah, Brian, I think.
Don't know his name, y'all. I don't know. I've just had such a brain fart. But his whole thing had been, if you're not from the continent, or if malaria is not a thing, for us, if you live in a really rural and really remote place, you don't have access to the healthcare facilities that you need. And something as simple as being able to even test for whether you have malaria or not, much more be able to treat it, it's an insurmountable feat. And so him and his team had been very much let's actually think about the underlying technology. Let's revisit it. How can we break it down to the bare bones and actually form a solution to it that would not need all this infrastructure that we don't have the money for, all this infrastructure that we're just not able to build, and just make it really easy. And so that's what they've been working on. And he had this quote where he was like, being an entrepreneur is like falling out of an airplane and having to build a parachute on the way down.
Sounds accurate.
Right? So it's been pretty hard, but just, I'm always super excited and super amazed by other young people that are you know what? This is probably the path less traveled, but I'm going to go down this path and let me do it. Because I think that I have a shot here. I think it's a great idea that will impact so many people. So
yeah, all of it just makes me super excited about the future of the continent and of the diaspora at large. So I'm super excited to all the success stories that'll be happening in 2019
Hey,
up from here.
Okay, so let's get more forward-looking. Mm-hmm. What is the one word that will guide you next year?
Probably consistency.
Ooh, that was my word for 2016, I think.
Yeah, it really needs to come back. Because I think at this stage, I've learned so many lessons in 2018 that it's just, consistently waking up to enact them every single day. And it's just, because I think, for me, you have to commit to your goals daily, right? It's not just one of those things where you're like, okay, this is the goal, I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. every single day when you wake up, you have to like recommit to that goal, recommit to that goal, recommit to that goal, recommit to that goal. I mean, like, I'm just trying to like evoke the idea that like your goal is not gonna like happen just because you committed to it at the beginning of the year, and then you think it's gonna like at the end of the year it's gonna magically be there. But like, it's one of those things where you have to be consistently recommitting to it. Like, maybe take a break on Sundays or, you know, whatever. I'm just joking. But I mean, do you like get what I mean? Like, the sense of like,
It will require continuous.
Yeah, exactly. Continuous commitment, continuous consistent, and just like working on it daily, piece by piece. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be some days where you're not going to want to work on it. And so it's that day when you recommit to that goal and like build that consistency.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those days where you don't want to work on it, like you're feeling lazy, you're feeling like, I don't know, maybe defeated or something. Like, it's fine to have, like, it's fine to have days off, like, take care of yourself, like, definitely.
Yeah,
but, like, I'm just saying goals are something that we recommit to daily. Like, it's not just like, okay, like, motivated, let's go, let's do it. And then you think that's going to...
last the whole year. It's not going to work.
You think that's going to carry you through the year. It won't. Like,
yeah,
consistency, recommitting to your goals.
Yes. I was trying to think of mine. I think Darren, but I don't know I don't know. But the thing for me all the time is that I play it very safe. Mm-hmm. And I was reading like a Harvard Business Review article that was saying that essentially smart people, quote unquote, and once again, I'm not trying to be, you know, giving myself titles or whatever, but it was saying that smart people, quote unquote, a lot of times fail because we're very comfortable with, you know,
what we know,
our strengths and what we know, and that also comes from a point where we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we'll look stupid, or we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we perceive us of a particular situation potentially resolving something like that, you're like, nope, not doing that, because you're like, oh, you know, this is what I know, this is what I'm really good at, like, let's continue in this path. And so I know that that's something that for me rings very true, in the sense that like when I think about this year, there have been a lot of things that I didn't know anything about, things that I wasn't quite sure I could do. And I also realized that it's something that I do a lot, where I put a lot of boxes on myself. So I'm like, oh, I'm not very creative, or you know, I don't really like roles that do XYZ. Like, I always have an answer for why something's not going to be the best fit or why it's not going to work out. But for 2019, I want to, let's say, rationalize and have those conclusions, but still do it anyway, because what do I have to lose? To just dare to dream bigger, because I'm one of those people that, like, it's so hard for me to envision big things, or not to say that I don't have big dreams for my life. I do. But those are dreams that I think are probably backed by loads of facts or loads of like very concrete things.
And like, then you want to like calculate up until that point.
Up until that point. But next year, I want to just do things. I want to be daring. I want to not be so bound by the ideas of success and failure, whether I'm equipped to do it or not. Because you know what? If it's something you're passionate about, you're going to have to figure it out. Like, you will figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You will have that drive. It will come. And in the spirit of Darren, another thing that I want to do is to be able to learn how to flirt.
2019, watch out, boys. Hey. Here comes Nana.
So it's something that I've been, I think I'll talk about with my friend Samantha, because, like, we're very much two peas in a pod. Like, once again, because I am so practical, like, I just feel like I look silly, or it's something that would just be so frivolous for me to do. So I never do. So I said that to Amalia yesterday. I'm like, oh, Amalia, you flirt like you're breathing.
Which is so funny to me, because I told her no, because when I actually want to flirt, I look like a fool. So I think what Nana means to say that I'm like, I'm pretty like friendly and open with like everybody and anybody. But once I actually think you're cute, then like I just act a fool.
It just goes out of
it's like out the window. So but, yeah, I think like it's not so much about like learning how to flirt. It's about learning how to use your particular personality to like express your emotions to the people you're enamored by.
But that's the thing. I'm just like, I think not.
But the 2019 is a year.
It's a year.
Doing it.
That's what I'm saying. That I said, now I'm like, I think not. Like, oh my gosh, I want this person to telepathically understand that there's an interest there. But it's like, girl, what do you think this is? Like,
my mini club. That way.
So 2019, I will dare and I will flirt. And if it fails, it fails. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to combust on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't care what people think anymore.
We don't care. Watch us midway, guys. So, but still. So, yeah, that's one of my
things. That's a good one. Oh, I like that. Because, like, yeah, for me, like, since I was saying earlier, this year has been the year where I'm like, okay, like, I have all these different facets of me and I've embraced it. So, like, I know what I'm about now. So, I guess, like, what I would say about consistency is, like, next year, I just want to consistently, I got it this time, just do me and, like, do what I'm about. Because, like, yeah. I know the path now. So instead of, like, because I always like to be, like, I'm like you. I'm, like, plan. Yeah. Like, we need to reflect on this, redo this, rethink about this, replan this, blah, blah, blah. But, like, no. Like, let's just work on this consistently and we'll see where it gets us. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. Ever since I told my funny, non-funny story, I've been thinking, I think I'm going to cut that out of the episode.
No,
like, that's the kind of overthinking stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. So we ain't doing anymore. And then our last thing is tips for a successful 2019. I think we've kind of covered this.
Yeah, we have dropped a few gems throughout this episode. Let us know if we've dropped a few gems. Okay. Do you think so?
I think so. Just claiming it for yourself.
No, I said we.
No, but I'm saying it's funny the way you're like, I know I've dropped some gems. Like, we know we've dropped some gems.
Yeah, like, definitely. Because I know, because of all the things that you reflected on personally with, like, the way you make friendships and, like, the way you flirt even. I just feel like this, throughout this episode, we've just said a couple things that we've just really learned that I think, like, will carry us into 2019. And so hopefully as long as we remember these lessons, so maybe we need to, like, revisit this episode all throughout the year to remind ourselves, like, don't compare. Don't worry about what other people think about you. Like, you are enough. Like, just all these things.
And absolutely. Because I think also, I don't know, because I know for myself, like, a lot of times when I start the new year, I have so much energy for it. Mm-hmm. And I think there are also times where I make certain goals because I feel like I should be making goals because everybody on my social media
is making goals. Because we're thinking about what other people are doing.
Yeah. And so I think my tip for the year for myself, in addition to everything that we've already said, is just to be true to myself and be true to what I want. You know, obviously, I'm daring to dream bigger. I'm daring to step outside the box. But also just, you know, once again, define success or define how 2019 is going to go, like, based on things that I actually value and that actually mean something to me. So I shouldn't want to become, like, a boss babe just because that's what's popular on social media. Right? Or, you know, whatever. Like, whatever it is that we want 2019 to be, let it be for us. Let it not be because it's our idea of what we think
success
is supposed to look like, or happiness or fulfillment or whatever. Like, take and define 2019 for yourself, girl.
And I would also say, I would also say, like, pace yourself, because, like you said, like, whenever the new year comes, we're like, okay, I'm gonna do this, but, like, you're gonna burn out. So I would just say, like, instead of, like, focusing on, like, okay, what are the huge goals you want by the end of the year, think of, like, what are the habits that will get me to where I need to be by the end of the year.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And so just, like, pacing out those goals and not being like, okay, in the first 3 months, I'm going to, like, No, like, pace yourself and be consistent. I'm solid, like, a broken record at this point.
I think one thing, too, that I would recommend, I just thought of it on the fly. Are there any books you read in 2018 that were really good that you want people to read and learn from in 2019?
I mean, you can go first, because most of my books have been, like, academic books. So I read how Europe underdeveloped Africa. So if y'all by Walter Rodney. So if y'all are super interested in, like, the whole, like, just how much the colonial process underdeveloped us as Africans, not only, like, economically, because that's what we think about when we think about development, but also just, like, emotionally, mentally, and, like, you know,
everything.
So, super great book. Okay. It was scathing, but awesome.
But good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That sounds like something I'd want to read. Another thing that I would say is Becoming by Michelle Obama. I sound like a broken record at this point, but you guys, like, I mean, I'm like maybe a little more than halfway through, but I always say that for me, for her, like, she's just always somebody bit to admire, to be like, oh yeah, you know, black lady doing the damn thing, okay, you go, Michelle. But like, this whole journey of like her book tour and actually reading the book has just humanized her in the best way possible, and has given me so much to reflect on, and so much to carry with me. So I think it's a very, very worthwhile read.
I would also say Children of Blood and Bone. Ooh. Go back and listen to our podcast episode about that if you haven't.
I know. Yeah. And then another thing too that I would say is that I'm always trying to stay up to date on the continent and get the latest news. So Quartz, that's Quartz, has a weekly newsletter that comes out on Sunday about Africa, and it's really, really good. So
sign up for that.
You should do that.
Some good readings.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of it.
Yeah, I'm super excited. What are you looking forward to the most for 2019?
I think like it's just general. I think just a new year, new opportunities. And I think, you know, like, you know how yesterday was for me. Like, I thought, I feel like it was such a bad day, because I found out that I've been put on this project that sounds like death. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, particularly because, like, I thought that I was in a different place. I thought I was going to get something else that would really help my career. But I'm like, you know what? I'm looking forward to this opportunity, in terms of, it's something that sounds absolutely horrendous. But you know what? I'm going to do it and do it to the best of my abilities. Aww. I'm gonna do it, and, you know, hopefully let it, you know, being in that position that I don't like, let it inspire me to want more for myself and just actually act on those things.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so, yeah. So much growth in one night.
So much growth in one night.
I'm so proud of you.
Let's check in January. I'll be over here.
We will check.
Like,
we will check.
I'll be over here like, guys, I am quitting that job.
But, yeah. I'm looking forward to working on my dissertation. I'm super excited about what I want to work on. So, like, doing a 1-year master's is not an easy feat, my people. It's not easy feats, but I'm just excited because I do love my program. I've just been enjoying everything that I've learned this term. And so I'm looking forward to, like, putting that knowledge to, like, use, I guess. I don't know, in doing my dissertation.
I'm looking forward to it as well. She's really excited about it, so the excitement is infectious. But of course, you guys, we always want to hear from you. Let us know, like, you know, what are some lessons that you've learned in 2018. Share your funniest memory with us. Share your low points if you want to be vulnerable. You know, we're all about that vulnerability. And let us know your tips for a successful 2019 as well.
And what are you looking forward to the most? Let's have an awesome year, people.
Alrighty, thank you loads, and of course, thank you guys for sticking with
us. So,
thank you for always tuning in. Like, you guys are so amazing. Like, to our friends that always text us and encourage us, to, you know, some random people that sometimes comment on our SoundCloud to say, "Ooh, this is an interesting episode," or whatever, or come on our Instagram, or whatever. Like, thank you guys so much. Like, you're why we do this.
Exactly.
So thank you.
Exactly. Absolutely. And whatever episodes that you enjoyed from this year, make sure you share it with a friend.
Yes. And let us know as well.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Bye.